What is going on? Welcome back to today's assignment. We got a volatile day today. We had FOMC at 1 o'clock central today, and we're back with Dr. Jim. How are we doing today, Dr. Jim?
Man, what's going on? Doing pretty well. You know, Powell saved the market. Powell went ahead and just saved the whole deal. Not unlike saving your Nugget season. There is a barely eked out that series against the Lakers, man. It was close, dude. I mean, it was super, super close.
Yo,
so congratulations, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you. How about my boy Jamal Murray? You know, game winner in game two at the buzzer. And then, you know, in the last, you know, another clutch bucket with what, 3 seconds on the clock to win the series. So he's underrated, to say the least.
No, agreed. Totally underrated. Totally underrated. Speaking of overrated, how about your boy LeBron?
Hey, yo.
Shaking hands after the game, blaming it on injuries. Like, come on, bro.
All right.
Michael would never do that. Look, ever.
Look. LeBron would have won a ring if he wasn't playing the Nuggets. If he didn't have to play the Nuggets, he's winning a ring. You know, but this is the one time I'm against LeBron. Whenever it's against the Nuggets, LeBron could go kick rocks.
Understood. So I'm curious. So what do you think? So I know we got a lot to do today. I want to talk about, you know, the Fed and trades. So what do you think? You think LeBron stays in LA? And do you think the Lakers are going to draft his son and they're going to run it for a season or two there in LA? You think that's how it's going to go down?
I think the only way he stays in LA if he is able to leverage what you just said. If he's able to leverage his son to get them to stay, then I think he'll stay in LA. And if not, I think he'll bounce on out of LA. But I think he's going to use his son as a chess piece for now, at least, which is valid. You know, I like to see people that come from nothing be able to do things. You know, a little bit of nepotism on that side is never a bad thing. And, you know, LeBron's son is not the number one draft pick in the country. LeBron is not even, his son is probably not even top 10, you know, but, you know, I don't mind seeing him using his son as a chess piece for his career like that either. But I would like to kind of see that LeBron duo with Bron and Bronny together. But if he doesn't go to LA, I think he's out of there wherever his son gets picked up by.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I mean, championships aside,
yeah,
he's got plenty of rings. He's got all the, it's like, dude, to play with your son is like, that'd be so special. Right. So yeah, I think that'd be really cool. Whether especially it's LA or New York or.
Especially being the GOAT, you know?
Bro, come on. We can't do this, man. We just went over this, dude. I'm just saying, like, he's not even in like the top three at this point.
This man is 80 years old. What do you want from him?
I'm just saying, dude, like, he's behind MJ for sure. He's behind Kobe too.
Whoa.
And right, I'm like, out, maybe he's out, number three.
Chill. Behind on, Kobe? You don't even believe that.
He's gotta be now, dude. He's gotta be.
That. Dr. Jim,
no, I absolutely believe that. Believe that, dude. You can't not believe that. You cannot believe that.
Michael
it's
Jordan,
kind of like, argue. It's kind of like going into the FOMC today and actually thinking for a second that Powell was just going to stomp on this market. Like, there's no way, dude. There's no way that he wasn't going to just save the whole deal. So there you go.
I hear you. But no, today I kind of wanted to get a little bit into, a little bit of FOMC talk, see what your take was on that, your kind of reaction. And then also prior to the FOMC, I took off the last position that I had in the portfolio. So I thought today we could go into the watch list, filter some trades out and put some new positions on. I was kind of leaning a little bit more, you know, neutral positions. I've really been liking the Iron Condors lately. And just rolling whatever side needs to be rolled as the trade starts developing. But that's kind of what I'm looking for today. But other than that, though, what was your kind of reaction today? It was unchanged, if I'm not mistaken. Then we had a massive rally to the upside. What's been going on through Dr. Jim's mind? How you been adjusting things? You just watching? What's going on?
No, mostly just watching. But, you know, looking at it, I mean, on the number at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock central, there wasn't a whole lot of movement at all. I mean, it went up and down a little bit, but we didn't see the wild swings that we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah.
But then at 2:30, and even like right now, like you're starting to see a lot more volatility and a lot of it is shaking out to the upside. I mean, the market is incredibly strong right now. You got the NASDAQ back over 17.7. You got gold. Gold's up 35 points today. And so I don't know what Powell said. We'll have to unpack that after the show. Yeah. But I mean, you know, the markets were pricing in like a 15 or 18% probability of a rate hike this year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very like, obviously Powell must have said something to kind of talk them off the ledge and kind of get back to, you know, the cuts are coming. It's just a question of when. We just got to give this thing time. I mean, I don't know how he dressed it up, but obviously he dressed it up pretty nicely because the market is, I mean, they're cheering across the board. Everything is up. Bonds up,
Yeah.
Got the Russells up huge. The, you know, the Boomers are holding strong. Like, everybody's winning today.
Yeah.
And so, man, I don't know what he said, but it'll be curious to see what he said.
No, yeah. And I'm going to pass this question on to you that I was asked by my little brother earlier today. He was asking me, he was like, yo, like, do you do FOMC trades, like an earnings trade? Like, what are you doing to your positions? How are you thinking about your positions before an announcement like that drops? Are you waiting till after? So I kind of want to pass that to you. How do you approach whenever we have an FOMC announcement in a binary event that causes a lot of volatility like the one we're seeing?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So number one, from a short premium standpoint, yes, I think you have to treat it like a binary event. I think you can very much treat it like an earnings release. In fact, it's almost set up the exact same way. Like, if you think about what an earnings, like Amazon last night, right? Or any company, like Apple tomorrow night, you have the number that comes out, and then some amount of time later, like an hour, 30 minutes, an hour and a half, whatever it ends up being, you have the conference call where the CEO actually, you know, kind of, you know, shares a little bit more qualitative stuff around that number. And then there's a little bit of Q&A. It's the exact same thing with Powell. It's basically just like an earnings call for the United States of America. It's basically like an earnings call for the, you know, well, it's not the U.S. government,
but yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, yeah. They release the number at 2:00 and then there's a conference call at 2:30 and he takes questions. It's set up the exact same way. And so I think you trade it the same way. Like, maybe you do, like I did an expected move butterfly, you know, earlier. I did it last night and then took it off this morning in SPX and we made a little bit of money and it was kind of nice on the down move in the market going into the number. And so I think you set it up the same way. However you like to trade earnings, whether it's with expected move butterflies, whether it's with iron condors, whether it's, you know, purely directional, whether it's with just, you know, kind of selling strangles around the expected move. There's so many ways that you can play it. From a short premium standpoint, I think that's how you do it. From like a scalping standpoint, like I look at like a day like today and I'm like, everybody made money in this. Like, no, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, if you're in this and you're just kind of in there looking for modest profits, there's a ton of money to be made in the chop and the slop. Like, yes, if you're looking for, like, you know, getting the bottom tick, super tight stop, let the winners run and kind of all that rigmarole, like, yeah, you probably got beat up pretty badly. But if you're kind of keeping your targets modest and just hanging in there with the back and forth, it's kind of like the waiting until you're right type of thing, like we've talked about before. I look at a day like today, you can make a ton of money, money on a day like today.
No, yeah. Let me go ahead and pull this platform up because, you know, I was live not too long ago, right about 15 minutes before this, live during the FOMC announcement, you know, on the Bad Trader app. If anybody wants to check that out during the days, we have some pretty cool streams going on in there. But
you get to see E scalping his MNQ yeah, scalps.
I did today.
So you get to see my man throwing around some 5, 6, 7 lots in the MNQ pits. That's right.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dr. Jim, but today I did take a little bit of a gamble, you know, especially on stream. We had Grumpy Mike in there, Big Deal Donuts, Brandon. So shout out to everybody that was in the chat. It was a good time, but I wanted to spice it up a little bit. So what I did was I took a long position. I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm going to just say it was just a gamble. It was just to kind of have a little bit of fun. Obviously, with respect to my risk, I want to let something just run against me. You know, I would definitely cut the position if I needed to. But let me pull this platform up and show a little bit of what we got into today and what we kind of did with FOMC. Can you see that okay?
Yes, I can. Yeah, you cool, got some cool. MNQ and you got some SMH. Yeah. There you go.
We scalped a little bit of MNQ live.
Come on, bro. You don't even have to tell me that.
No, but this is different. Hear me out.
It may be different around the edges, but it's just like the conversation we had a few minutes ago. Yeah. Like, I already know that MJ is number one and Kobe is number two. You don't have to tell me that. We don't have to talk about this. This is already assumed. It's given. Right. We can move on. It's the same thing with your MNQ scalps. Like, I know that you're in there a little 3-lot there, maybe a little 5-lot there. Like, I know you're picking up some cash. You don't have to tell me that.
Dr. Jim, you act like you know me. You act like we spend every week together for the past, over a year now?
I'm just saying, dude. Like, I know it's happening. You don't have to tell me. We can just assume that it happened.
Right. No, I hear you. But no, we were having a little bit of fun with this one. You know, I could have taken a short position. I could have taken a long position. I mean, I took a short position because of how much bullish orders we got into the market, but it could have absolutely gone against me. It was a binary event. I was just jumping in front of. We were talking about how I cut this at a $50 loss. So technically, this was like a 1-for-1 trade. Not even that attractive, really. But I mean, we ended up getting that volatility to the upside. And like you kind of mentioned, I like how you used modest gains, right? Because if that wasn't the case, I could have held this a little longer. But we know how a lot of these binary events play out sometimes. Sometimes we'll have a 50 point up move, then a 30 point down move, then another 60 point up move, then another 30 point down move. So I was trying to take, you know, the modest volatility and price movement that we were getting. So we cut it there, but I did emphasize that this was no trade plan. This was no nothing. So just understand, I was prefacing that, you know, anything can happen in these binary events, especially when you start getting in, when volatility is kicking in the market. You really don't know what's going to happen or whatever the case is. And I think all you can really do is manage your risk best as possible. Because, I mean, I guess that's all we really have control over in the market. So that was kind of the idea there. So that was pretty cool. It worked out. I literally just jumped in. It could have been a loss. It happened to be a green one today. So that was kind of fun. And then before that, right before 2 o'clock, I took off the SMH position. I ended up making a little bit on this position. What was it? Nothing crazy. Where is it? There we go. What did I mean? $26, right? And this is one of those trades where I didn't necessarily want to hold past 21 days. So even though I could milk this a little bit more, just the fact that we're past 21 days and I was able to squeeze out a little profit, I took that as like a get out of jail free card and don't test my luck even more, especially as we kind of get down to the wire on that one and we start having, you know, the gamma pick up as we get closer to expiration. So I was like, you know what? I'll take that off, just clean my hands, start deploying that capital elsewhere. And again, because it's past 21 days to expiration, that was the thought process on that one. I could have been a little bit more proactive on that one earlier in the week. We had a little bit of a rally to the upside on SMH. Let me put this to the daily chart real quick. Oh, that's a 2 day, 1 day. So remember we had rallied up here. Up here is the calls that I sold, and then down here was the puts that I sold. Should have been a little bit more proactive. Let me roll up those puts, collect an extra 40, 50 cents, especially as we're coming so close to test these calls just 3 days ago. And I wasn't able to do that. So the trade worked out, but I still recognize things I could have done better and be a little bit more proactive and efficient about, because I could have collected a little bit more of a credit, especially after such a bounce. We get so close to testing the calls. But anyways, that one didn't end up too bad, but that's pretty much all we had. And I wanted to get out that one before the FOMC announcement, just in case it started blowing past one of my short strikes. And I could have at least gotten out, you know, with a small little profit, considering the fact that I was holding this one past 21 days and I was already getting bailed out because of that in that sense. But that's pretty much all we had going on today here, Dr. Jim. So I was looking to get some new positions on, because these are closed positions. And if I click this tab, there's nothing on in the portfolio. So that's what we had for today. What are your thoughts on that?
No, it's good. And you know, the one thing about, you know, having like small profits at 21 days, mm-hmm. It's always tricky. It's always tricky in terms of what you should do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really tricky with undefined risk, because with undefined risk, it's an easier decision, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You take it off. You take it off. You move on, because you have the undefined risk mm-hmm. on one side of the market, both sides of the market, whatever it ends up being. You take it off, you move on. With a trade like an Iron Condor, you know, you could make the case to hold that for a bit longer, to try to squeeze out a little bit more profitability.
Yeah.
I think usually taking it off and moving on is probably the, you know, the more traditional default setting there. But it's always a little bit tricky, because it's like, okay, you know, I don't have a ton of profitability in this trade. It's obviously better than a loss, but you know, you want to get some economic significance out of the winners. And so, I mean, I think what you did is perfectly fine, but I'm just kind of highlighting kind of the difficult spots you're in when you have a very small winner on a defined risk position at 21 days to go, because the gamma risk, like, yes, we want to avoid that. Yes, we want to mitigate that. But with a defined risk strategy, it's not really that big of a deal, because you have the long legs that are in the strategy that are already mitigating the gamma risk by just being in the strategy.
Yeah.
And so if you want to hold it to 18, 16, 14, 12 days, it's really okay. I mean, don't tell Tom I said this, and don't tell Tom where you heard this.
Right.
But it's really okay. It's totally fine.
So if somebody's kind of in that position, similar to I was, how do we kind of differentiate between wanting to see what's going to happen and differentiating between, wait, that's greed kind of kicking in my mind? Because again, if I'm up $26, it's already past 21 days till expiration. Would it be greed to want to hold that longer and squeeze out more? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And that's a very real question, because it's, you know, no, it really is, because it's like, I'm in this situation. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, I think this is one of those situations where there is no optimal answer. There is no right or wrong choice. I think a lot of times you have to think about it within the context of, you know, everything else that's going on in your portfolio. And like, you know, how much capital do you have? Do you need the capital? Is it okay to keep the position on? Hey, where is volatility? Is the IV rank still high? Is there still more juice to come out of there? Has it collapsed down quite a bit? And so there may not be a lot more, you know, room to run from an IV rank contraction standpoint. And so these are the types of things to think about. I don't think that, I mean, of course, on an individual trader by trader basis, it could be greed. It could be, you know, wanting to go for more, but just because you want to hold it, you know, from 21 days to 17 days and turn your 26 cent winner into maybe a 56 cent winner, that's not greed. I don't think that's greed at all. I just think you need to stop and think about and actually examine, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? And to give people some concrete things to look at, number one, is it economically significant? Like, for example, you know, you took it off with the 26 cent winner. I would not have taken that off. I would have left it on for the sheer fact that you're kind of right on the razor's edge of it being economically significant there. I mean, don't get me wrong, 25 bucks is 25 bucks. Like, I understand that. But when you factor in, you know, commissions, transaction costs, whatever, it's not really that much of a green trade. I mean, that's just the way that it is.
Kind of like a
scratch. I'd like to get a little bit more out of it, right? So for that reason, I'd probably leave it on. But also, you can look at implied volatility rank. Where is implied volatility rank now relative to when I put it on, if you happen to know that? You know, and then how is the rest of my portfolio doing? Like, do I really need this winner right now? Or do, you know, can I afford to kind of let this guy run a little bit? So these are some of the things I would think about.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you brought that up. It's so situation by situation based, and everybody's portfolio is kind of set up different, all that kind of stuff. So
no, it is, man. It really is, you know, and I think that needs to be highlighted more often. I mean, we try to make this stuff as mechanical and as black and white as we can, but the reality is you just can't.
Yeah.
Like, there are just certain things that you can't because, and not to mention, you know, the other people that are on the other side of the lens, you know, watching the show, listening to the show today, you know, I don't know what their account size looks like. I don't know what their experience level is like. I don't know how many positions they feel comfortable managing. I don't know what their schedule is like. And so all of these things that are kind of outside of the X's and the O's, that, man, they matter a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, they matter a great deal. And so that's why I like to give people kind of different things to think about so they can tailor it to the situation that they're in.
No, that makes perfect sense. I think there's, like you like to say, there's a lot of wisdom in what you just said. That's what you say.
Do I say that? That's a good line. I like that line.
You do
I like
say that line.
You know, one other thing I want to say, that MNQ trade.
Yeah.
So you got $56 on that trade. Was that a one lot?
It was a one lot.
Okay. And it was just one trade?
It was just one trade. It was just in and out within like 60.
There you go. I just want to point, I mean, that's 28 ticks, right? That's 28 ticks.
It wasn't one micro, not even a mini. It was a micro.
Well, I'm just saying, but it's 28 ticks, dude. Yeah, I mean, to get 28 ticks out of the NASDAQ market, I mean, you know, because you trade it pretty regularly. I mean, it moves. It moves a lot, especially around FOMC. I mean, 28 ticks can happen in, I mean, less than a minute, less than 30 seconds, like no problem. Yeah. But that's a nice trade, man. I just wanted to commend you on that. That's a nice trade. You know, you're not going in there for like four ticks like Tom likes to do, or like five ticks like I see Tony doing. Like, no, man, you stuck it out for 28 ticks. That's a nice trade.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I was 100% willing to eat that loss as well. I was 100% ready to pull the trigger on a loss if I had to. I think I would have cut it around 50 bucks, but it worked out. So, I mean, I'll take what the market gives me. But So let's do a little quick rundown on the market today.
I mean, let's do it. We got Apple earnings tomorrow. You're ready, right?
Yo, Dr. Jim, you're literally like the devil on my shoulder.
Just saying, dude.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The devil on my
shoulder. You can hedge it, dude. Whatever happens, dude, you can hedge it with MNQ. Don't even worry about it, dude.
Man, we'll take a quick look to see what the options chain is looking like, but let's check out what the market's doing. NASDAQ up on the day a little bit now. We were a little bit red on the day. Now, after the FOMC, a pretty decent green day it's putting in. But that caused me a little concern because I've been looking forward to VIX above 20. We just keep getting teased. Then we get another massive rally. And it's like, when are we going to get a plus 20 VIX, Dr. Jim? Are we going to get a plus 20 VIX in 2025 when they decide to cut rates? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll be ready to sell a ton of premium once we get above 20. So,
I mean, we were above 20 just a few days ago. I mean, you can see it right there.
Yeah.
And so hopefully you sold some premium. Like, hopefully you got in there. And
I did, actually. I did. So,
I mean, that's the time to do it.
But I mean, hopefully we get some type of other significant down move in the market to, I mean, I guess selfishly, that's what I would want based off of how I'm positioned, which is nowhere in the market right now. I know others probably wouldn't want that, but that's where I'm at.
Of course. I'll tell you what. Yeah. So for a while, like, you can even see it on the chart that you have up there.
Oh,
you know, for a while we were trading between what it looks like 12 to 15 on the VIX.
Yeah, 12 to 15,
like, you know,
about.
Yeah. Like the last few months. Right.
Right.
So then we kind of broke out to the upside a little bit. And, you know, we touched over 20. Looks like we touched over 21 just briefly. Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, maybe we don't stay above 20 for a while. But still, if we can settle into a new range, that instead of being 12 to 14, if it's 14 and a half to, 17 and a half, that's going to feel a lot different. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to have a lot more opportunity.
No, I hear you. I mean, I hope so, Dr. Jim. I'm really hoping so. And I mean, I'm glad you're feeding my delusion right now. So, I mean, I hope that happens. But
well, speaking of feeding delusions, let's pull up this Apple chart, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's pull up the Apple chart. You know, I need to get on one position before we hop on out of here today. So let's pull up the Apple chart. We got a
man, that looks pretty bullish.
Does it look bullish? Is that what the intern?
Of course.
The intern is still around. The intern hasn't been.
She's outperforming. She's absolutely outperforming. I mean, all I see on that chart are higher highs and higher lows. I don't know what you see.
I mean, I see. I don't know what I see, but what is the intern like? Are you guys over there on your segment? You guys been talking about Apple. You guys doing anything in Apple, Dr.
Jim? Well, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it on tomorrow because the earnings are tomorrow night. So I'll wait until tomorrow to do
it. Okay, cool.
But I mean, I really, Apple's been beaten down so badly as of late. It's obviously rallying today along with the rest of the market. But I don't know how you can't play this thing to the upside, man. I just feel like, you know, everybody's been, they've been kind of clobbering Apple and they're kind of, you got the Apple Vision Pro. It's like, all right, this kind of a dumb product. It probably didn't pan out. But it's like, I don't know, man.
Have you used it?
No, of course not. Of course not. But it's like when you look like you're wearing scuba gear out in public and you're just pinching at the sky. It's like,
you
probably missed the mark on that one.
That's where I'm just saying. If you take that thing outside your front door, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, that's what people are doing.
Right.
No judgment.
So maybe it's a user error. I don't know. But I mean, they missed the mark on that one.
No,
I feel like you got to play it to the upside.
You know, absolutely. Jim, if earnings were after the bell today, I probably would have put it on. But that's not the case. So I think we're going to look at SPY. I kind of want to put a short position on SPY, but the fact that you're bullish on Apple earnings after tomorrow concerns me a little bit.
No. I like that. A little short SPY. A little short SPY, long Apple, and you've got the M&Q hedges in your back pocket? No, I like it, dude. I think that's how you play it.
What about a 525-25? 525-25. I know you like to collect a little bit more whenever you're selling iron.
I do. In fact, I'd go even a little bit closer. I'd go maybe try a 515-520.
515-520? Yeah. That's 217. I mean, I do like the decrease in the max loss.
I would actually go between those two marks. I'd try to get around $2. That's what I would do. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think 1722. Boom. There $2. You go. There's your trade right there. Look at that thing.
$2. Wait, so
it's a masterpiece.
I know you mentioned before you like to collect a little bit more whenever you're selling an iron condor. Is that the case for you just in general? Because I know we're collecting a little bit more and we're just selling a call spread. Oh, wow. We're selling a call. Yeah. I am trying to get short. But do you like to just collect a little bit more than a third just in general for your personal comfortability or what?
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to defined risk, like verticals and iron condors, definitely.
Okay.
Just because I know that I'm not going to be able to adjust these as easily later on down the road like I would a strangled or a put or a ratio spread or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep. So I feel like, man, let's control that risk even more effectively on the front end by collecting more. Mm. And I feel a bit more comfortable. Now, of course, you have to give up a little bit of probability when you do that. But, man, I mean, look at your numbers, man. You're still 62% pop. You're 70% P50. I mean, those are some strong numbers.
No, those are. I mean, I like it. If I sell the 517, collect $2, I mean, my break even's 519 pretty much. And we were originally going to sell the 520. My break even is going to be at 519 if I sell this for $2. So, I mean, that's not too bad at all. Let's go to the curb mode and give a little more of a visual for the visual learners like myself.
I mean, that's just a strong looking trade. That's a Nick Batista trade right there. Look
When's
at that
the last
strength.
Time I've been in SPY. Last time I was in SPY was 419. So it's been about just like a week. Roll. So we'll see what we can squeeze out of SPY on this one. 519. I mean, I like it. I feel a little bit more comfortable with this than the earnings trade, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Dr. Jim, that was my New Year's resolution, or else I would have 10 earnings positions on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go.
I like it, but I'm just telling you, Apple's calling your name. There's still time.
There is still time.
Whether it be today, whether it be tomorrow. I'm just saying, dude, playing it to the upside. Look at you with those lightning fast fills. I like that.
Sold to the guy in the lightning fast fills with the glasses on.
There it is.
I think that's where we're gonna go with. I don't know. Is Apple the only other earnings position that you kind of been eyeing this week, or what else do we have this week?
Well, we had Amazon was last night, and then Apple is tomorrow, and then that. I mean, all the heavy hitters were last week, like Meta, Google, Microsoft, Netflix. That was all last week or the last couple weeks, and so I think like Disney's coming up, but it's like who cares about Disney? It's like you know, Apple. It's all the tech. It's all the tech. NVIDIA will be in a couple weeks, I think.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, go click on them real quick. We have an extra second. So are they on the? Is it the 23rd?
I thought you were asking if today's.
No, not today.
I was like, Dr. Jim, today is May 1st, sir.
That's right.
That's crazy. We're in the fifth month of the year already.
I know, dude. And it's the fifth month of 2024, bro. This isn't 2023.
I know.
Or 2022.
I was in my NVIDIA position for like half of the year. Or like half of the year so far, because I was stuck in this one for so long. I put this one on in February and I finally got out last week. So literally the second month into the year and then almost into the fifth month of the year, I was chained up by NVIDIA and then we got a sell-off. I was able to squeeze something out. But I feel like this entire year I've been in NVIDIA and we're almost halfway through.
Right. So look at the overview real quick. When are the earnings? Or look at the option chain.
Yeah. We got them May 22nd after the bell. So
okay, May 22nd. Okay, so it's 3 weeks from today.
It is.
All right, it's 3 weeks. All right, listen, bro. We got to go to get to Tim Knight. But, yo, I'm telling you right now, dude.
What's that?
Three weeks from today, you're doing a NVIDIA earnings trade. It's not going to be your call, dude. Yo,
if this spy position we just put on works out.
No. False.
I will hedge the profits from the spy position.
No, that's misinformation.
Misinformation? How is that misinformation?
Misinformation. You're doing a NVIDIA earnings trade 3 weeks from today. You're going to make your triumphant return. And, man, we are going to light a huge stack of cash on fire. It's going to be so much fun, dude.
That's pretty much what I'm going to do. I might as well light a huge stack of cash on fire if I trade NVIDIA earnings. No, I'm just kidding. But
let's go. I'm ready. Let's go.
I know. Anything before we head on out of here today, Dr. Jim?
Nah, man. Great day. I mean, you know, great day for the Bulls. I mean, the market recovered a little bit. So now I'd be curious to see. I'm very curious to see what Powell said and kind of what kind of triggered all this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we see what happens, where the next 300 points are.
Yeah. Great day for the Bulls. Great day for the Nuggets. But anyways, thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Be sure to stay tuned for Tim Knight. Dr. Jim, we always appreciate you having you here. And that's going to wrap it up for today. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.